This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neej and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Kia ora and welcome to Neej and Footy Fridays, the best place to keep across our amazing Pacifica athletes in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. Usually, I'm here alongside Sam Wykes, but surprise, surprise, the man is on another work trip. This time, he's in Samoa, so if you are in Samoa and you see a tall man with an afro, he'll have a mic in his hand, probably a camera in front of his face. Go and give him a handshake, drop a shoulder into him, and say hello on behalf of everyone here on Neej and Footy. But today, joining us off the bench, we have our good friend, Sarah Nangama, Bulavinaka, and thank you for joining us.
Bulati, what an introduction, and it is so, so special to be here in the absence of our brother Sammy Wykes. I've heard lots about Neej and Footy, and I'm just happy I got my call up off the bench, man. I've been waiting.
Yes, we've had a couple great impact players, Tupo Supawanga, Seth Apollo, but I reckon we're in for a treat today. For all our new listeners, Sarah, you want to give a quick background? What teams you play for, what shows you've worked on, the Queen of Media, let our listeners know.
Oh, this is a little bit embarrassing, but I am a current New South Wales Waratah and Australian Wallaroo. I have built my sporting reputation in rugby union off the field. I have begun building a media career where I do a fair bit of work with ABC on our beloved show, That Pacific Sports Show, and a rugby commentator with Stan Sport.
So after today, Sammy, you're most likely going to lose your place on Neesian Footy.
No, he loves this show with his heart and soul.
A big show coming up. Sarah, what do we got in plan for today?
Yes, we've got a huge show on our hands. We've got two Origin games to cover. Super Rugby quarterfinals kick off this weekend. We'll be joined by Sala Tonga Tuki, fresh of Origin 2 last night, and Totai Kefu with all the Super Rugby preview you need.
And I also today want to ask you about your Waratahs win, winning the Super W, also the Wallaroos' disappointment for you and for the team recently. Plus, for Culture Shock, you're bringing in some fun facts about your homeland, Fiji.
I've got it all prepped, ready to go, brother.
Let's go.
Good on, everyone. My name's Cal Edel, and you're listening to Neej and Footy.
As usual, we start the week running through the biggest news of the week since Neej and Footy on Monday. We'll start in league and let's recap the huge game one in men's State of Origin on Wednesday night, T.
Yes, very, very depressed. Man, it sucks being from New South Wales, eh? Like the last couple years, I've been copping it. But let's go straight to the game. I'll start with the biggest moment, the Joseph Suaalii send-off.
There is a Queenslander down in back play, back on their own 30-metre line. John Gibbs on the touchline.
Yeah, it's Reece Walsh who started that break, got the ball on the outside, and it was Suaalii who's hit him. And you'll see there, Suaalii will get sent off. Suaalii, first game in State of Origin, and he's soon to be off.
Oh, he's got him. It was slipping, Reece Walsh. But Louis, it looks ugly as the shoulder was the point of contact straight to the head of Reece Walsh. Yep. He'll be in all sorts of trouble here, Suaalii.
Yeah, it's a bad look. Reece Walsh didn't move there for a good 20 seconds.
So 7 minutes into the game, Suaalii shoots out of the line to put a huge hit on Reece Walsh. Walsh pulls up as he's got the ball. He pulls up to tip on the ball to Hamiso. As he steadies his feet, his feet slip underneath him. Suaalii has already committed to the tackle at this point. Unfortunately, his target area changes from Walsh's chest to Walsh's head. And Reece Walsh gets a concussion, and under the concussion protocols, he is unable to return to the game. Due to the direct contact to the head, Suaalii gets sent off for the game, leaving New South Wales to play 73 minutes with 12 men. Queensland activate their 18th man, who happens to be Tongan back rower Felice Kafusi. That send off a huge moment in State of Origin, a huge moment being game one, played in New South Wales, and then Suaalii gets sent off. So do I agree with the send off? No, I don't, being a Blues fan. What are your thoughts on the send off, Sarah?
As soon as the send off happened, I thought it was over for New South Wales. Reason I say that is Origin footy, you know, is reserved for the best of the best players. They're going absolutely ham. You need all of your men, all hands and feet on deck. So once Sorliti went off, I know it wasn't the fairy tale debut that he needed to have. However, Queensland, it just felt like they had a plan B and a plan C. And I want to talk quickly just about the promotion or the movement of Fido to fullback, because he did not look a minute or a moment out of place. He bagged 3 tries. Like, what the hell? New South Wales, I feel like they had a plan A. They didn't have anything else outside of that.
And Billy Slater, what a genius, having an outside back in Cobbo on the bench.
Mastermind.
What's that? 7 minutes into the game, and he has to activate that outside back. And then Hamiso having to adapt, and the way that he reacted to playing fullback, which I'll touch on shortly, but I thought he was outstanding for Queensland. Just on quickly on the Sualii, though, he obviously didn't go with the intent to try and hit his head. So,
of course not.
You know, it was a mistake. It was a huge moment in the game. These rules are in place to protect, you know, the player's safety. So it is one where they're trying to knuckle down on these head concussions. But obviously this one, he didn't mean it, I believe.
Just quickly, T, do you reckon Sorliti will get another chance in game 2? Because dare I say, he may have costed New South Wales game 1.
No, he's suspended for at least 4 games.
That's heartbreaking.
Big game down in Melbourne for game 2, but he will be available for game 3. I actually went through the dates and the games and like, will he get in? He'll get a couple games in for the Roosters before the Blues team is selected. So because the way that he started, I do hope that he gets selected for game 3.
Awesome.
And hopefully that's a decider, because the Blues need to go to Melbourne to win that game. But because of that send-off, you know, not long after, 2 tries down that same left side where Sorliti got sent off. New South Wales, though, Stephen Crichton, after them 2 tries were scored, he'd been defending on the left edge. They ended up switching Stephen Crichton to the right edge, and he put on a defensive masterclass. Really showed how to defend with the man down, attacking hard from the inside. I thought another player who had a huge game for New South Wales and his debut, Spencer Lenu, you know, the impact he made off the bench, running hard, running with intent. He ended up making the most tackle breaks in the game with 9 in total. I'm pretty sure and confident that he'll be selected for many more State of Origin games to come. Brian To'o also stood out for me. Most metres for both teams, 223 metres in 24 carries. But it was a night for the Queenslanders. PNG Kumul, Xavier Coates, and Tor Samoa player Murray Taulangi both had solid games. Coates with the most carries and metres for Queensland, and Taulangi with 2 try assists. But as you mentioned earlier, the hammer, Hamiso Tabuai-Fido, having to adapt and move from centre to fullback, he had a huge moment where he saved a try where Spencer Lenu, pretty much all he has to do, he's falling over the line, about to put the ball on the white line, and then the hammer's gone straight underneath it, saved the try. Then he goes on and scores 3 tries for Queensland. He was my MVP for State of Origin Game 1.
Short of halfway centre field, 2 tackles left, Maroon's Hunt. Goes to his left to Din. Short ball away, Sua. One-hander away to Cobbo. One-hander to Taulangi. He's over the 20. He's got support. He turns it right to the hammer. I thought it could have been forward. But Tabuai-Fido is awarded the try. And ladies and gentlemen, it's hammer time. He's over to score.
So game 2 will be played in Melbourne. Now, with all the Queensland players that do play for Melbourne, Xavier Coates, Harry Grant, I assume that there'll be plenty of Queensland fans down in Melbourne, so it will be a tough game for the Blues. They'll also have to find a new centre because Sorliti will be unavailable due to suspension, but we will touch on that in further episodes of Nesian Footy. Now, the women's game last night, State of Origin, game 2. Huge congratulations to everyone that turned up to Newcastle. They set a new record for the State of Origin women's footy. We will also have Sala Tongatuki, who played in that game. I thought she was unreal. Played a big chunk of minutes in that middle part of the game. She will cover a lot of our information for Game 2, and I am really looking forward to having a chat with her.
Well, we can't talk about Game 2 without mentioning this try by Tiana Pinatani.
She'll finally play that now, but what a play. Is that a series-winning play? The one-on-one steal by Sergis and Robinson with 11 and a half to go. And listen to the crowd. Higgins goes left. He comes across to Corbin. Baxter over the 10. Floats a Harbour Bridge pass. Pelletani's in the corner. What a ball from Baxter. Great finish by Pelletani.
That was such a huge moment. You just got to take into consideration the wet conditions, the fact that they were in a proper, proper fight. Tiana Pelletani, she just brings it in on her fingertips, dives over the line. She did some work.
Yes, she had a lot of work to do to get over the line once she gathered the ball. The one thing I noticed, though, was straight away grabbed the ball, puts it on the left hand, which is harder for the defender to come across and knock it out, and she just power drives over that try line. So
great insight.
Great work, T. But the moment that broke New South Wales hearts and made me even more sadder the next day, well, actually it's this morning, was this field goal from the Queenslanders.
Plays the ball now to Wakan. Short ball left to Lefipo. She's passed 1-2 over the 20 and then gets absolutely poleaxed by guess who? Caitlin Johnston. She could tackle a Mack truck and the Mack truck would end up losing. Here's a field goal snap coming from Lauren Brown. Oh, she's nailed it. I just said she can kick him. She's kicked one that might send the series into his decider. A minute 43. To go, Lauren Brown, the hero, 11-10 Maroons.
All right, turn it off, mate. I get it.
What a moment, though. Queensland. I can't wait to get stuck into this with Sulla because last night's match was just an absolute spectacle of rugby league.
Another shout out to Lofipo as well. You know, at 19 years of age, starting 13. You mentioned there she just copped a big whack, got up, played the ball, and then they go on and get the field goal and win the game. So huge moment for her and her family. In other footy news, your brother, Wes, steps down as the Cavite Silktails coach after more than 4 years with the club as their inaugural head coach. Have you heard from him? How's he doing?
Yes, I have heard from him. It's been quite a big week for our family. This has been a career goal of Wesley's to be a head coach, and he was so blessed and fortunate to inherit the KVT Silktails head coach role where he's been there for the past 4 years. It's there's been a lot of emotion in it. He cares so much for this team, and as the club statement has, you know, been shared by Petro Devaneva, that there'll always be one, like the first head coach for this side, and that was Wes. And he hasn't returned home just yet, but his resignation is effective immediately. So I expect to see him home the next number of weeks. But I'm kind of excited to have him home. Bittersweet moment because I know how much this team means to him. But I'm sure when there's time to reflect and he can speak about it, then I'm sure we can hear more about it. But nonetheless, super proud of him. I know that he loves this team and really excited to have him back at home.
Yeah, I got to interview him after one of our games that I played against him.
I saw that one. That's a good one.
For that Pacific Sports Show. And you could see in his eyes and his voice and hear in his voice the passion that he has for his country, Cavite, and the pathway that he's trying to create for the young players back in Fiji to eventually, you know, play NRL or have that opportunity. So, yeah, he's going to be missed. And I'm actually looking forward to, you know, seeing where his journey goes because as a head coach, I thought he'd done a great job. Just quickly, over the 4 years, have you been able to see his development and growth as a head coach and, yeah, seen his, you know, personal development?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the personal development is probably one I've witnessed more so. He's spent a lot of time away from home throughout his career, but even more so, this was in such a different capacity. I think his capacity to care for people and, you know, to see things through to completion has been the biggest milestones I've seen from him. So again, it's just crazy to think that 4 years have gone by, but really, really looking forward to what the next chapter holds for him.
Great work, Wes. In NRL news, Reuben Porter, so Cook Islander, is making his NRL debut for the West Tigers. Now, Reuben Porter was my roomie for the 2021 World Cup. And when I heard the news straight away on the phone, you know, congratulations. I know he's worked hard, got a young family. It's a bit of a later debut than most, but he's hung in there. He's got his opportunity, so I wish him all the best. So look out for Reuben Porter for the West Tigers coming off the bench. In NRLW news, a fair few signings. So Tongan Leo Fotumuala, she signs a 1 year deal with the Dragons. And the Eels have upgraded Samoan's Lindsay Tui and Tafawa Asawa from their development squad to their top 24. Plus, they re-signed Tongan Jade Fonua and Samoan Pihuka Berryman Duff on one-year contracts. Eels stacked with Pacifica Woman, my old junior under-20s head coach, Steve Georgiales, a great man. He is the head coach for the NRLW Eels team. So looking forward to how they go this year. Remember, you can hear every NRL game, including State of Origin, live on ABC Radio Australia. Now, moving on to rugby union. I don't think there's much to talk about because it seems like rugby league has taken over the world.
Taken over the week. Come on now, team.
So let's focus on your competition this year, the Super W, winning the grand final. What was that like?
Yeah, it was a really special occasion. And any premiership, as you would know, T, is always one to remember. However, for the Waratahs, we had gone through dominating the competition for, I think, like three, four years. And then we went through a dry season of 2 years, one falling short in the grand final, and then last year being nipped at semi-final time. So you know what? We definitely had a chip on our shoulder coming up against the Fijiana Drua Girls, and we got the job done up in Brisbane, and it was the most bittersweet, more sweet moments I've had in a little while. But special players, special team. It was honestly a really strong season. Dare I say, like our most fearless season that we've had. And if you look at the points that we kind of racked up against every opposition, we were putting at least 30 points on them. So that's why I think it was definitely our best season.
Did you feel like you were under a bit of pressure going into that grand final, knowing that you'd been so dominant throughout the season?
Yeah, you always feel like there's going to be pressure, but I thought the pressure was more so on Fiji purely because they had won the premiership 2 years in a row. So for them, I knew they were coming into it as in, we can't lose this, not we have to win. And I think for us, that was probably the mindset that we had for many years prior to that. So if anything, I felt like we went in there with so much freedom, so much confidence, because we knew that the pressure was on Fiji and all we had to do was perform the way that we had been all throughout the season.
Beautiful. Now, the Wallaroos were selected the week before the grand final. I know that you weren't picked. Were you disappointed? What were your thoughts and emotions during that time?
Oh, the timing was crap.
I could imagine.
Honestly, like, there's no other way to put it. The timing was absolutely crap. Like, you're preparing for a grand final, hoping to secure the premiership, and you think that you're doing the right things, and then you get the call from your head coach saying, unfortunately, you haven't been selected for the upcoming Wallaroos tour. It was a lot of emotions for me throughout that week in particular. It's like, yep. How do you deal with the devastation of not making your national side? And then on the flip side of that, be energetic and motivated and enthusiastic to help your team bring a premiership title back to New South Wales. So the contrasting feelings I had throughout that week were not fun to monitor. And then I think once we got back, so we played on a Sunday, we flew back to Sydney on the Monday. That week was a blur, an absolute blur. And like, I've been part of the Wallaroo squad for 6 years, and that was the first time for me to ever miss out on a camp or a tour or whatnot. Yeah, I was in a bit of a daze. I disappeared to Brisbane for 4 days just to kind of reset, like turn my phone off, because I was really feeling the FOMO. But once I hit the ground back on the Monday, it was just time to refocus and kind of get steady for the next job.
Was there any specific way during that preparation leading into the grand final that you found a way to overcome those feelings, emotions of not being selected, but then also preparing for a GF?
Yeah, I definitely, when I first received the news, I was kind of a little bit in shock mode, but then I just knew I had to park it. And I had like my Waratahs head coach kind of in my ear throughout the week being like, we just need to park this, we've got a job. And
yep.
I knew within myself that like, I was not going to let anything come in between me trying to help my team, help myself secure that title. So dare I say, having the premiership grand final that week, it was a distraction as well from everything else that I was probably feeling internally. But then once, you know, just like if anything, once you've suppressed it and it wants to make its way up to the surface, my goodness, it just came out overpouring. But I can speak about it much more better now because I'm in a better place. And and that's just the highs and lows of high performance. You'd know that.
Yeah, it's a roller coaster ride.
Ain't that the truth?
What I will say is that over the last few weeks, seeing the Wallaroos results, I have backed you and I've said they're missing our sister Sarah. So I do believe that, you know, you would have made a difference. And what are your thoughts on the Wallaroos games so far? I know it's been a disappointing campaign for them. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I think even though that I'm not part of the squad at the moment or the Pacific Four squad, the disappointment I definitely shared in it. The reason is because even though I wasn't picked for that tour, I'm not dropped yet from the squad. You know what I mean? So
yep.
Their results ultimately still affect me. And so I was really fortunate to be able to catch their first two games here on Aussie soil before they went over. And, you know, in all honesty, when you look at the games, there were some games there that we should have absolutely banked, i.e. the US game. However, there's always going to be growing pains with any squad when you come under a new head coach. You would have thought you would have hoped that we would have ended in a much better fashion. But the truth of the matter is we've now been relegated to WXV2, which means we'll head over to South Africa at the end of the year. And we have not yet qualified for World Cup, but we're just taking the scenic route, brother. We're just taking the scenic route to our qualification.
Well, speaking about the World Cup, is it still one of your goals to make this team, make the squad and represent Australia and the Wallaroos?
100%. I'm so determined to make my way back into that squad. And my ultimate dream is to make another World Cup. And that's not out of the realm of possibility, but it's just going to take some time and a lot of hard work.
Keep chipping away. I know you'll do great. And thank you so much for sharing. I know it's not easy sharing those moments, but to have you here on our show, sharing it on Neejan Footy Fridays, we are grateful and we appreciate you.
Appreciate you, bro.
Plenty more rugby chat when we get to Totai, but let's get to our first expert, our Blues representative, Sala Tongatuki.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes away to the right edge, Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Yes, we are blessed with her presence once again on Neejan Footy Fridays, straight off the back of Game 2 State of Origin, our Fetu Samoan and NRLW superstar, Sala Tongatuki. Sala, thank you for joining us this morning after a big game last night.
Thanks, fam, for having me. It's always good to come on and talk, all things footy. So, yeah, feel really good to be back on. Thanks, T.
All good. I'll start with how are you feeling? I know the result didn't go your guys' way, but I thought your performance was unreal. How are you feeling this morning?
Thanks, T. Obviously, really devastated, disappointed, but like we all know, we were sort of the better team out there. We just, I guess the weather and the conditions that we played in have played into the Queensland's favour, and they executed those moments and owned it, I guess, and they played the full 70 minutes. So I did speak on this that we were ready to unleash some things that we sort of left, didn't get to showcase in game one, and unfortunately we didn't get the chance again to do it last night. So hopefully that's something we know we can build on and just sort of work on for game three. But body-wise, I feel like a bus hit me. We all know that feeling, guys. So it's, yeah, I'm very sore, even though I didn't play that many minutes. But yeah, no, I'm very sore.
Doesn't necessarily matter how many minutes you got, because as T alluded to, you were so impactful with the time that you did have. So I just want to ask, at halftime, New South Wales going to the Sheds, you guys have the lead. It looks like you guys are playing much better footy than Queensland in terms of composure and controlling the game. What was the chat like at halftime? Because it honestly looked like it was going to be New South Wales all the way.
Yeah, we sort of just came in. We just know that, I don't know, like the Queensland girls, we could feel that they were there to obviously do damage in our territory, same as we did in game one to them. And it was like we could feel that, yeah, like they just had nothing to lose, and we just know that we could go that next level. We sort of just need to stick in that cycle of pressure, and sort of like it's, we call it the washing machine. So obviously kick, chase, defend, and then, you know, sort of complete your set. So then you hopefully fatigue them and then, yeah, get to play some foot in your good ball area. But, yeah, we just so unlucky in that coming out second half and didn't get to do it the way we sort of started really well in the first half. But other than that, yeah, the chat was pretty calm. We've got really good leaders. Kezzy and Iz, they really keep us calm and grounded. So we just kept reminding each other that, you know, there's still 35 minutes to go. Just trying, you know, just play the full 35, I guess, and yeah, leave nothing in the tank. So yeah, it was just all calm and stuff. It was just hectic though. It was just so loud, the crowd. So it was like hard to sort of try and hear each other out there. But other than that, yeah, it was all right, I guess, second half.
Speaking of the crowd going out there, did you feel the atmosphere as you were running onto the field?
Yeah, no, definitely. It was crazy. Like when we were standing in line singing the national anthem, I looked up and I know the girls would have felt this, but just seeing the top level of the stadium just packed. Obviously, we're used to just seeing empty chairs and stuff like that. So that was amazing. And even just the running out through the in the middle of the tunnel, just hearing like New South Wales and all that, the kids and that. So that was pretty special running out and get to, you know, tap them. And just, yeah, I just can't really describe it. The feeling was pretty cool. So I won't forget it.
It honestly gives me bloody goosebumps, because that's kind of where you hope to always see women's sport, is to fill out stadiums. Round one, you guys have a record crowd. Round two, you have a sold out stadium. How satisfied are you as a player knowing that you now have a 3-game series?
Oh, very satisfied. Obviously, last year it was 2 games and it came down to for and against points, and we just obviously lost to that. But it's nice to know that it's 1-1 now and we get to go into Townsville and play that decider. And pretty special, I reckon. Obviously, would have loved to won last night, but I guess it's speaking a lot for the people that follow the women's game, that they're really keen to watch us play game 3. And I know that's special only because obviously your first series, but for it to also be a deciding one. So it's going to be pretty cool, that game 3 up in Townsville, I reckon.
Speaking of the rain last night, do you think that affected the way that you girls played? I felt like there were a fair few points that were left on the field for the Blues. Obviously, during preparations for this game, it wouldn't have been as wet. Do you think that the rain affected the way that you girls played?
Oh, 100%. Some people might say different, but obviously we're a really fit team and we play really well on dry grounds. That was something that we were hoping for, you know, the weather to be for us. But, yeah, I guess the weather gods didn't come our way. So, yeah, we just had to adapt and really readjust to the conditions that we played in last night. I'm telling you, I kid you not, I've played in some rainy games, but that last night, it was just really cold. Like, even the girls that played the full game were saying that the minute the siren went for halftime or at the end, they were just freezing, like, out there. But seeing that a lot of the fans that had, you know, braved the conditions and stayed to support us, it was no-brainer for us to sort of just hang around and get around and sign some jerseys and balls and just take some photos for them. So, yeah, before we went in, so, yeah.
Well, I want to touch on your performance. I thought that you were like Spencer Lemieux for the men's team. Come on, an absolute wrecking ball. You've done a bunch of work on the time that you were on the field. How do you think you went in your performance?
I don't know. I didn't feel like I did anything, to be honest, guys.
You've been too humble.
Way too humble.
No. Me personally, I'm obviously not happy with the way I performed. That's just me, guys. And I wish I could have done more for the team and the jersey. And I loved every minute being out there and, you know, trying to play in that kind of rainy weather. But, yeah, Spencer Lennell, he's massive. For him to debut the way he did 2 nights ago, I'm really proud of him. Obviously, me and UT, we you know he's from the area and he's, you know, one of those players that I know him personally as well. Him and my little brother used to play footy and I'd go to some of the games and we've done some FTA clinics and that together as well. He's a bit of a funny guy behind that staunch appearance that he has. But leading into last night's game, one of the girls in that was just saying, well, you're our Spencer Solar. They were just saying it to me and I'm just like, I don't know, I felt really honoured. Just I don't know if it was sarcasm or not, but I just, yeah, I really wanted to get on there and sort of do something similar to what he did. I sort of wanted to do the same and come on and just do my job, stay composed, because sometimes they can get really, you know, hectic out there, and I just wanted to just do my job. So, yeah.
No, you definitely did.
I'm not happy, personally.
No.
But thank you.
I think it's, yeah, it's a good trait to have, you know, always looking to improve, but I think that's a performance that you can definitely be proud of. Watching, seeing your carries, generating quick play of the balls. There was even one moment you took a carry, the ball went away, and then you were just in the pitch and you had to take the next hit up as well. So I know that game three, you'll be ready to go. And if you do play the way like you did last night, I think you absolutely kill it. But I seen on your socials straight after the game, you went and seen your family inside the sheds. How was your family reaction? Were they proud of your performance?
Yeah, they were definitely very proud and it was really mixed emotions for me. Obviously trying to take in the loss and just trying to recap on, you know, the way we lost. It's pretty crap to lose, you know, to a field goal, to 1 point. But it is obviously great exposure. I think it speaks a lot, just the quality of the game that we have now in the Origin Arena. So, yeah, sorry, I'm sort of away from the question. But having my fit, I'm just seeing the faces that I saw. I was shocked because I had half of them tell me that they couldn't actually come to the game. So I had prepared tickets for other people and gave my tickets away, I guess, as well. But yeah, they lied to me. They had already bought the tickets before it got sold out. And yeah, I was really emotional. I'm happy as well, with a lot of joy seeing those faces. But my mum, especially, she just came back from Samoa. For her to be there in the stands, she's not, you know, obviously not well at the moment. But I was just really happy to see my mum, especially. And I was like, obviously, my dad, he had to stay back at work. He just got back. So yeah, I was really sad. I love seeing my dad in the stands, but to see my mum was more than enough for me. And my best friends, my partner, his mum and her girlfriends and stuff like that. So it was a lot of family that were there for me, and I hope I did them proud. But yeah, they kept telling me they were proud. I don't know if that was the alcohol talking or it was them, but yeah, it means a lot to me. Family is everything to me. And I think one special moment, I took my mum into the sheds and I showed her. So everyone has a photo in game one. Sorry, recap. In game one, we had jerseys hung up and we didn't even realize there was a photo behind the jersey. So, and I noticed a lot of girls were like sort of just noticing and they're like, oh my gosh. Like, and most of them had like junior rugby league photos or where their journey of rugby league started. And some had just like their parent that they still have here with them on earth. And I turned mine, flipped my jersey, and it was my brother, and that hit me, you know, really hard. And I just started crying. It shook me. And just the message that I had on it was, this is where your journey and why you started playing. And I showed my mom and I brought her in last night and she just started crying. We sat her down and yeah, she was just in tears. And then my sisters and I came in, and yeah, it was just a really nice moment for me and my family. And it felt so real. Like it just, everything all started again, like how the journey of rugby league started. So yeah, that was pretty cool and special. Oh,
thank you so much for sharing
that.
That's beautiful,
Sala.
That's a beautiful moment. Yeah. I know your brother would be very, very proud of you. And also your father would have been proud of you last night. I'm sure he would have had it on the radio in the background listening at work, but I know that your whole family would be very, very proud of you.
We did our jersey prezos, and like we had a video from our families, and we're like, obviously it started from number one all the way through to 20, and I was sitting there and a lot of us were like, oh my gosh, who's doing our videos on our behalf? And then when my one came up, it was my parents in Samoa, and they were dressed in their bears, their pulitasis, and it was matching. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then my mum's like holding her phone here, like reading this message she had prepared to say to me. And I don't even know what the message was, but I was just really crying because I knew that I thought they weren't going to be here to watch me, and they never really miss a game. But then my dad, at the end, I was like, if it's my dad, I hope it's not him talking, because my dad doesn't know how to speak English. And I was like,
A for effort, uncle.
Yeah. Nah, but he had his little 2-second fame. I'm pretty sure my mom did it on purpose. She would have just told him, no, I'm just faking it all, because she's got better English. But he still jumped in at the end and be like, yeah, go New South Wales. I was like, oh, yeah, that's all he knows how to say. So
special.
Sorry, guys, so random.
No, that was awesome. That reminds me of when I ran into you and your father at the Daily M's last year. And, you know, you both of you representing your cultures with your outfits and the traditional Samoan clothing. It makes me proud to see, you know, you and your family represent your culture and the Samoan culture on that stage. It's special, and it sets an example for all of our Pacifica people. So you should be proud. And, yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Thanks, Steve.
And we've just seen Brett Camorley re-sign for another 2 years as your NRLW head coach. How do you feel?
I feel so happy. I came to West Tigers purely because of Noddy. I've heard all good things about him, not just as a coach, but who he is away from the footy. He helped me a lot with the stuff I was dealing with off the field. That alone speaks a lot, like just who he is as a person, like I said. And he's got 4 girls of his own, so it was no brainer that he was going to be able to communicate with, you know, with us girls. And he does it so well, and we're just lucky that he's just all footy and family. And I feel like that's why our culture at the West Tigers is pretty special too. It all stems from him, and we sort of just, yeah, we just soak it in every time. I love seeing Noddy, like every time I see, like he's just like that father figure for us girls. And seeing, I've heard from a lot of the new girls that it's only been, what, two couple of days, I think, and they already feel at home with Noddy and the club itself. So, yeah, I was just so lucky to have him 2 years, and I messaged him congrats and stuff, and he messaged back saying that, you know, we've got something special building here, and, you know, it was a no-brainer for him to sign again. That's why.
Up the Tigers.
Hopefully we go better this season.
Sweet. Well, Salah, rest up, get some good food into you, re-energise, and we'll get going for game three because we need to bring that trophy home. Thank you again for
up
joining
to blues.
Us.
Culture Shock.
Sarah, this is our segment where we learn about our fellow Pacific Islands. We chatted about Tahiti last week. This week, I wanted to drop you in the deep sea and get you to tell us a fun fact about Fiji.
Thank you so much for dropping me in the deep sea, brother. Deep sea, deep end, same, it's okay.
Deep sea, deep end, hot seat, all the same. Tell us about Fiji.
I love it. All right, well, this is my fun fact that I've come prepared with. T, did you know Fiji was once known as the Cannibal Islands because the natives were cannibals? Cannibalism was still practiced on some of the more remote islands of Fiji right up until the 19th century. Fijian chief Ratu Undjuundjere holds the world record for the most humans eaten. The record states that he consumed anywhere between 872 to 999 humans during his lifetime.
What?
So my ancestors, hungry fellas.
Well, first thing I thought about your ancestors and Fijians being cannibals, and you're not even going to eat that banana that you've opened up because there's a bit of brown stuff on it. Come on, what the heck?
I know, that makes me seem so precious, hey.
Oh, wow. That is a very, very big culture shock. Thank you for sharing.
Anyways, I hope that gave you a bit of a culture shock into all of our listeners at home.
I don't know how, like, you could be cannibals but be so friendly.
That's what we do. We entice you with our friendliness, but you don't know you're for dinner.
All right, thanks, Sarah.
You're welcome, you're welcome.
Let's find another place for next week. I'll hit up Sam to tell us about his Samoan experience. But let's get straight into rugby union and preview it all with our expert, Totai Kefu.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu! Totai Kefu!
With Totai Kefu.
Yes, joining us each week to chat all things rugby union is the Wallaby Queensland Reds and Ikalitahi legend, Totai Kefu. Big Kefs, Sammy's not here, so I'm going to rip straight into rugby league. Jeez, it must be good to be a Queenslander.
Oh, look, you know what? It's actually getting a bit boring winning all the time.
So just humble.
You just want the Blues to win a few here and there just to keep the excitement alive. But when you win all the time, T, you know?
It's depressing, mate, being a Blues man. I thought we were a chance last night to gain a little bit more respect with the women's, but then they, Queenslanders, end up winning that one as well. So, yeah, we just...
You got no hope, T. It's not over yet.
There's a little bit of hope.
It's not over yet, my brother.
See, that's what's wrong with Blues supporters. They just
fickle.
Give up so easily.
he's just down and out at the moment.
They bag their team. They make excuses. you gotta go through the good times and the bad, hey, Sarah?
Exactly. Hey, turning our attention to the good, round 15 of the Drua v Rebels just went by. What were you most impressed with?
Drua were never going to lose that game, were they? When the finals were at stake and they're at home in the middle of the day, raucous, unbelievable crowd. I love when Drua play at home because it reminds me of the old days when the Super Rugby crowds were full. The stadiums were full in New Zealand and Australia. The crowd was noisy. So it's great to see Drua play at home and win at home. Good to see Frank Lomani back. He got a yellow card again. He needs to really pay attention to his discipline, I think. He's a leader now. And there's a couple of things, you know, just kicking that ball in the middle of the scrum, I thought, Sarah, was just silly, poor leadership, I thought.
Yeah, it's pretty reckless. I mean, Frank Lomani, he's such a stalwart within that side. And like you said, he's such an asset. And the key for Drua is to keep players like him on the field.
That's the blueprint for Drua, I think, because they got that momentum rolling. They got quick ball. They got offloads. They were playing on the gain line. really direct. This week's a different challenge, but look, you know, they've had a whole week to prepare. They're playing at one of the most iconic grounds in New Zealand, Eden Park. On paper, it looks like a really, really even matchup, but, you know, it depends on what Drua team turns up.
Speaking of Eden Park, it is just the sanctum for rugby when it comes to New Zealand. Do you think that Drua can get it done considering how formidable the Blues have been throughout this season?
Look, you know, I go back to, there was a game during the season where Drua were unbelievable. It was an away game. It was in Canberra, actually. I think it might have been around maybe 4 to 5 weeks ago. I think they went from Canberra to Perth. They nearly beat the Brumbies on their home ground. And I think the score was only, I think they lost by 7 or 6. I'm not too sure. Anyway, that night, the Drua's set piece was outstanding. And they were winning collisions. And this is in the backyard of, in Canberra. So if they can bring that same performance to Eden Park, they're a bloody good chance, because this Auckland team, they're physical. You know, Vern's got them playing a different way. Vern's got them playing with a massive focus on set piece, and also just forwards just rolling around the corner, winning collisions, being really direct. So the Drua obviously have to compete at the set piece, but they also need to win their fair share of collisions, not only in attack, but in defence as well.
I love that you mentioned that, because I think that's what's been the most outstanding thing about the Blues, is that their forward pack are so direct. They don't try and do the fancy stuff. They just win the collisions and they punch it up the middle to free up their backs. If you were to choose one, Drua v Blues, who's winning this weekend?
Oh, look, I think I'll have to go. The Blues, they've been outstanding all year. It's going to be hard to beat. And Drua, look, I think Drua will have their moments. Yeah, I think the Blues, too good, Sarah.
Blues, too good. Look, I think I have to agree with you there. Let's move on. The Chiefs play your Mighty Reds to open up the finals this weekend. How do you see this game playing out, and which Polynesian players should we be keeping an eye out on?
Chiefs, Reds. Now, look, you know the no Australian team's won a final in New Zealand.
I'm very aware. All the reports keep telling me this week.
So, they've got their backs against the wall. Look, I think if you look at the form guide leading into this clash, it's the first game on today. Look, I think the Chiefs are just too good. You know, McKenzie's the key if the Reds can shut them down. But the Reds nearly, you know, the Chiefs play with a lot of flair and a lot of attacking, and they launch well off their set piece. Reds are more of a workhorse kind of team, ground oppositions down, a few little opportunities there. Look, I think the Chiefs are going to be too good.
Ye of little faith, Kev. That's your side.
Well, you know, I'm...
Mate, you were just bagging me out for the Blues, and then here you are back in the Chiefs. Come on, mate, do better.
Look, I think the find of the season for the Chiefs has been their number eight, that Satiti. I think he's been awesome. Little pocket rocket. Outside chance for the All Blacks, I think. I was wondering, is he the son of Simisi Satiti that used to play for the Samoa, the number eight? I'm not too sure. Same surname.
We might need to circle back on that one.
I'll have to. But look, if the Reds are any chance, they need to disrupt, you know, the set piece and really go at McKenzie and put a lot of pressure on him.
Look, as Les Kiss said throughout press this week, he knows it's going to be a huge battle, but if they get over there and they can get this dub, it's going to be a huge thing for Australian rugby. Turning our attention now, Hurricanes v Rebels. Will the Canes be scared of a Rebels team who have everything and also nothing to play for?
No. Hurricanes too good. No fairy tale story ending here. I'm sorry. Rebels, just not good enough. Hurricanes in the cake tin, please. And have you seen their front row?
Crazy.
Tossi, Amua, Namua, they're going to absolutely destroy Rebels of scrum. And I know they got Taniela Tupou, but look, Criffy and Brad Shields can't even make the starting team. So they're going to come off the bench with a whole lot of impact. I think Peter Luckay has been absolutely outstanding for the Hurricanes. I think could be a big score, Hurricanes at home, especially with the way they're attacking at the moment. Yeah, I think Hurricanes too good.
I think you said it there. There probably won't be a fairy tale ending for a Rebels side going up against the Canes. And the cake tin is a cold and hostile place to try and win some finals footy. I know that for sure. Last game is Brumbies v Highlanders. What do you make of this one and some Nigerian players in the mix?
Surely some Australian team The Brumbies
won. Brumbies are honestly the hope for Australian rugby.
Brumbies at home, late night game in Canberra, 0 degrees. They're a good chance against the Highlanders. I think it would probably be the closest game of the whole weekend. Highlanders are a good side. I mentioned their back three of Nareki, Tavatavanawe, and Ratu Matavuki Nepkins. They've been outstanding, and they'll provide a little bit of a heartbeat for the Highlanders side. Highlanders, good solid set piece, but Brumbies at home, finals time. I mean, this is what Brumbies play for, don't they? The normal season's finished. Their finals football team, and they've got the ingredients to go deep into the finals. Unbelievable set piece, real clinical. They got some players that are playing now that are at the top of their game. Tommy Wright at fullback has been outstanding for the Brumbies. I'm a big fan of that Charlie Kale too, that number 8. Could be a Wallaby bolter. But, yeah, I think Brumbies too good at home against the Highlanders.
Being born in Dunedin myself, I'm going to back the Highlanders. I think I have no idea how they've been going this year, but I will this back them against the Brumbies. This is Sammy's job. If there was one upset that you had to choose in the four games, who would you choose?
Yeah, it would be this game. You know, I think it's going to be quite close, but I think just home ground advantage, we'll get the Brumbies home. You know, they've been, for most part of the whole year, their set piece has been really clinical, efficient. They exit really well, you know, save a lot of energy, play down the right parts. Yeah, I think they're just going to be too good. The good thing about the Brumbies, you know, over the years, and this is why they've been so successful, it's a little community down there, the camaraderie and the connections between the players and families. They all live in each other's pockets, and it's a little community, very different to, you know, places like Sydney where players are spread out. Brisbane, same, players are spread out. In Canberra, there's not much to do there. And for everyone, there's three coffee shops. And
three brothers own it.
They're all in a small space. So they're all living in each other's pockets. So they're all good friends. They're well connected. Families get on. You know, very much like, you know, like the Crusaders in Christchurch. Panasonic live in a little country town just outside Tokyo. All the players go to the same restaurants, same coffee shops, so very similar. So, yeah, it'd be hard to beat the Brumbies. But, I reckon that'll be the closest game, only because Highlanders have been going all right the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, you're right. I work with Canberra legend C.S. Oliola, and also we had Josh Papali'i on our show. And if you want to listen to that episode, you can get that wherever you get your podcast. but both of those players say the same thing about Canberra. You know, it's a family environment. They all live in that little bubble or bowl that they call down in Canberra, and they all hang out together every day. So it is it will be a tough environment for a away team to come in and get the job done. Who is your tip to win the comp, you know, leading into the finals?
Oh, look, I think the finals will be Hurricanes, Blues, and I think...
You don't think Chiefs are going to be there?
No, I don't think the Chiefs will be
in
it.
Holy...
I think the Blues at home, Eden Park, too good.
Any Smokies? Sammy's famous word, Smokies, so he likes to pick a team that might make it, and if they don't, it's okay. If they do, he says he's a genius.
Drua.
I'd love the Brumbies, the Australian team, to get through, but after this game, I think they'll probably be... I'm not even sure who they play next. It's got to be one of the top teams, the top two teams. But, yeah, I think those two teams are well and truly above everyone else.
The Kalatahi and Samoa have two tests in July against Italy and Spain. Fiji do as well. What do you think the coaching staff will be doing now, and how long do you think their prep will need to be to get these teams ready for their test matches?
Oh, look, most of the things would be already done now in terms of just tying up some loose ends around scheduling. You would think the selections have already been done. There might be some 50-50 calls for the finals coming up, but you would think most of the selections would have been done. So they would have already reached out to the players about their selection. And they're probably just waiting to announce it probably in the next, I would say, fortnight. Yeah, look, I think now it will be just going over some loose ends around scheduling and touring and all those kind of things.
I love it. It's always great to have your insights. Just before we let you go, Kev, so I just want to circle back to the comment you made about Satiti. And we've found here that North Harbour Blues forward Wallace Satiti is the son of Samuel Satiti, the former Manu Samoa captain. So you were on the money with that one, brother.
Yes. Samo, he was a great number eight back in his day. We clashed various times.
Kevs, thank you again for joining us here on Knees and Footy Fridays. We love your insight. We love your expert advice and up the Blues.
Absolute pleasure, guys. Keep up the good work.
Knees and Footy.
Shh. Quiet, boys and girls. It's Professor Paulo.
Sarah, welcome to mine and Sammy's world. It's a very competitive world.
I can see.
As you know, we have a fair few competitions running on our shows. And this one is Professor Paulo. So he asks us a question every week. We keep a score. And at the end of the season, the loser has to buy a fancy lunch. The score is Sammy is on 7. I'm on 4.5. You'll be representing Sammy's team.
I got you, Sammy.
So
let's go.
Feel free to lose on purpose. Let's go.
With Sam out and Sarah in, I follow the trend of rugby union. And with the Crusaders not in the finals this year, after winning the last 7 titles, who was the last team before them to win the Super Rugby title in the men's competition?
T, I think it was the Chiefs.
Blues.
And the answer to that question is Windy Wellington Hurricane.
Oh, what?
What the heck?
I thought it
we
was
said
like,
the two most best performing teams right now.
I was thinking Sonny Bill when he was at the Chiefs, but that would have been too long ago.
I just thought I could see a premiership photo, blue jerseys.
Oh, we'll just say
so what happens?
We'll just say that I said the Canes and it will give me a point. Because Sammy,
absolutely not. I go down with my hands up in the
Sammy
air.
Sammy won't even listen. We'll just give me a point.
No.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Knockout tipping time.
So this competition is
another competition. My goodness. It's a giveaway show.
This is our knockout tipping comp. We pick one team each week from the NRL and Super Rugby, but you can't pick them again. The score is I'm on 21 and Sam's on 15. I actually got most of my points from rugby union and Sam hasn't really picked many rugby union teams. So we're in the rugby union finals. So off the back of Todd's chat, I thought we'd pick between the Brumbies and the Highlanders. You have to choose one.
Brumbies.
I'll let you choose first. You'll go Brumbies. I'll go my home team, the Highlanders. And league is actually getting pretty hard with pick 13 teams. So we've only got 4 teams that we can pick from.
Not much.
This week, there's 3 teams on the bye, so it might be even less. This week, you have the choice of Dragons v Tigers. You can pick either team. You can either pick Rabbitohs to beat Titans or the Eels to beat the Bulldogs.
I choose the Dragons v Tigers match, and I reckon Dragons are going to get up.
Off the back of
Sammy,
my
you can say
report.
Thank you so much once I get you this point.
Man, you're going up against, so you're picking Dragons to beat your Fijian brothers, Arpi Coruscell and Jareem Buller.
Yeah.
I'll tell them later.
Oh, yeah, cool. Thanks.
Yeah. In league, I am going to choose the Titans to beat the Rabbitohs. I think that David Fifita, not being picked in Queensland, he's full of energy.
He's
ready to go, and put one on the Rabbitohs. So that will be my pick for this week. Well, that's us done for another Knees and Footy Fridays. Thank you, Sarah, for stepping off the bench straight into impact, like Spencer Lenu, and get the job done.
Always a pleasure, brother.
It's been an honour and an absolute privilege. Remember, you can listen back to our Monday and Friday shows. Just search for Knees and Footy wherever you get your podcasts. Ka kite.
Well there.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.